Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Failure is not a termination of a person's call, gift, assignment, or talents. It must be seen as a detour or an attempt to cancel your destiny by the devil.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a message taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Restoring Broken Trust. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
And lying is so common today that people will look you in the face. You're seeing it happen on the news and everywhere else. Look you straight in the camera and lie straight up. Okay? Honesty starts the process. If you're genuine and you want to rebuild trust, this is the pattern to do it. Secondly, affirming the leadership or authority in the process is part of the restoration process. You see this in Numbers chapter 12 when they finally come back full circle. So let me give you this illustration, this little illustration here. The prodigal son comes home and he says, "Dad, I've wrecked the car. I'm sorry, Dad, please forgive me." What does the father do? The father forgives the son. The son says, "Great. Now, can I have the keys to mom's car to go out tonight?" What is your response and level of trust? I'm getting a no over here, I'm uncertain over here, and I finally found the undecided vote that's always showing up in the Electoral College. Can you say no out loud?
No.
I'm gonna tell you, if you'll listen, if you'll say, some of you wouldn't say it if I gave you a $20 bill. Because it's not in your vocabulary. What do you want, baby? What do you want? And what do we want our kids all the way? I'm saying that because I was on the phone helping a brother with his kids today to help them get into Project Hope. Within 48 hours, his son had been arrested twice. "My son needs help, Pastor." I said, "Okay, let me make some phone calls. Let's make something happen here." He said, "I'm not going to bail him out again." I said, "Listen, where your son is at," well, I don't know who this is for, "where your son is at right now is bound up in barbed wire. He can't get himself out. And any drug addicts in here, former drug addicts, know exactly what I'm talking about. You get to a place where it becomes out of your control. So are we going to take the prodigal and throw him out the door? No. Are we going to give him the keys? No. He has to learn the process of restoration. The son turns around and says to the father, "Well, if you won't give me the keys, it means you haven't forgiven me." "No, I've forgiven you. I demand the car." "Well, you can demand all you want to. I forgive you for that one, but I don't trust you to take this one. So what I've gotten for you is a bicycle out there." What is the son doing? He's showing rebellion, pride, and not submitting to leadership and affirming his parents. Stop letting your children run the house. Bible says it's all right if they cry a little when you whip them. "Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, stop it, mom and dad. Stop this. Stop wearing the guilt of what you did when you smoked marijuana in your 20s and thinking, okay, it'll be all right if I let my kid do this because I did it. The devil is a liar. Your whole code of conduct is a different way."
That's right.
Well, the son has got to realize that he has to pay the price of the consequences. It's not that the father doesn't forgive him. It means the relationship is going to remain, but just because you said I'm sorry doesn't mean that everything is fully back in your hands again. Are you with me? So the greater the breach of trust then, the greater the destruction, the longer the process of healing and restoration has to happen. Are you hearing me? The greater the breach of trust. And notably this, and you can read this for yourself in Romans chapter 1. Whenever leadership, and this is what's happening, we're now voting marijuana in the state of Florida, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and all these excuses. And let me just tell you something. You can pick out all the choice scriptures you want to, and you can write your own Bible to fit your lifestyle. But I know I can tell you that this book was not written by a human being. Because if a human being wrote this book and the words in it, he would have lowered the standard to fit whatever the situation is. That's the reason why you hear the revisionist, boy, I'm preaching right now, the revisionists of history in the United States want to make the Constitution a living document. Oh, no, no, no. We're going to keep it just like it was with the founding fathers because it was built on the Word of God, and it is a higher standard to live by than the way that this next generation of socialists want to make it. By the way, the Green Deal went down in smoke. Just thought I'd add that in there. Okay, so I don't know what happened with the air, but I'm sensitive enough to know that there's no air flowing, so I guess you're working on that. Thank you very much. It's just one of those things. I'm just that kind of guy. The sin or wound is not just against God, but it's against other people. You got to realize that. You don't sin by yourself. Just because you did it, well, nobody got hurt. Oh, yeah, somebody did. Somebody did. So get this. Understanding is often necessary in order to rebuild trust. What do you mean by that? Understanding. So here's what I get a lot of times. Pastor, you got to tell them to tell me what happened when they went out on me. Well, let me just say this to you. Understanding is important. But you got to be careful when it goes to such a degree that it becomes dangerous for the future of your restoration. Just because you know every detail doesn't mean that that's going to help you in the restoration process. This is where having trusted, qualified authority over your life helps to regulate what needs to be known and what doesn't need to be discussed. So God will deal more severely with a leader who instigates a rebellion or injury. Romans chapter 1 tells us, those that make laws that lead people into sin will have a more severe judgment than those that were under those laws. So I wish I could say it, because whenever the New York legislation signs a document for abortion and then they laugh and clap at the killing, there will be severe judgment that will come as a result of that. And it will fall on those who sign their name to the document. The person at the center of the offense carries a greater load of responsibility and judgment. So the process of restoration is abandoned when we do not submit ourselves to true, genuine, qualified leadership. Pastor who commits an immoral act or a crime, he may ask for forgiveness, and his denomination may forgive him, and the church may forgive him. And he says, like I have heard in just this past year, pastors that get up, one that was right here in the state of Florida, if I told you where it was, within a few hours' drive from here, he stands up and confesses to his immorality with another woman on his wife in front of the church, and the church applauds and says, go back and preach in the pulpit. He's pastoring that church right now. My friends, we're in such a state right now that if we don't adhere to the Word of God, we're so far off the bubble. Listen, you should expect the board of directors of this church to hold me accountable as the pastor of this house. And if you don't, then you don't love this church. Did you hear what I said? Why would we expect more out of Enron than we would the church? Come on, folks. Why would we expect more out of a corporate business of the Standard and let the church just pass on by? Doesn't need to work that way. Are y'all still with me? Because restoration is a process, it never satisfies obsessive behavior. What do you mean by that? Well, let me just add here very quickly. Jesus said, I will forgive you your sins if you come to me. But note the model prayer. He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others their trespasses and sins. So Jesus said, I'll forgive you, but if you don't forgive someone else and get restored, then I will not forgive you of your sins. Did you hear that? We do not hear that preached. You want forgiveness, but you're not willing to give it. Restoration must happen all the way through, or it's not restorative for you. So why is that so important? Because forgiveness doesn't make the wounds go away. That's the reason why there's a process of restoration. Okay? So you cut somebody with a knife. You cut somebody with a knife, and then you go, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad you said you're sorry, but currently I'm bleeding profusely. I need you to now take me to the hospital. Oh, man, look at the time. I got to go. But I'm sorry. Are y'all hearing me? Okay. So with that in mind, many people try to use the word of God, I've heard this, against the wounded person. I said I'm sorry, now forgive me, let's forget about it and move on. Well, the deeper the hurt, the deeper the wound, the longer the process of healing takes place. If you have forgiven me, why is this hurt still in your eyes? Well, remember, you're the one who put it in my eyes. Is this helping anybody here tonight? So why did he place then, he placed a greater weight of responsibility and judgment upon Miriam than Aaron? Miriam was the older sister of Moses. So what did he give her? He gave her a good case of leprosy. Now, according to the law, this is what we think today because we're living in the dispensation of grace. And just because swift judgment doesn't come, we think we got away with something. But God talked to them at the door, and then the Bible said he left. I can imagine them going, phew. And then all of a sudden, these putrefying, white, pus-filled sores start breaking out all over her body, and instantly Aaron, the high priest, who declares someone unclean, had to turn to his sister in front of the whole church and say, this woman is unclean. Sorry. This woman, this woman over here, this woman is unclean. I'm not even looking at you right now. This woman is unclean. He had to make that declaration and then put her out of the camp for 7 days at least. God is serious about the one who instigates rebellion, offense. In fact, the Bible says, if you offend one of these little ones, it's better that you have a rope around your neck and a millstone tied around it and you're cast into the river. Because with your mouth, you bless, and with your mouth, you condemn.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.